Skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of sand, far sea lavender. See ya next year.
Farm Chat with
Jason and Nathan are the dynamic duo from the wonderful Deepdale Farm on the North Norfolk coast.
It's strange, you're back.
I'm actually back.
You're here physically in the same space as me.
I'm back and I've missed so much. The geese made it back to Norfolk before I did.
I remember you. I remember when we. I can't remember what it was we put on, and you just went, "How? It was summer when I left."
Yeah, it was. It was August, and now it's November, and it's been a bit of a rollercoaster few months. But yeah, I am back.
So I'm chatting with Nathan. We're sitting in the courtyard. You can probably just about hear the geese in the background. They're making an absolute racket a few minutes ago. But there are so many of them. It just, they're looking amazing when they fly over.
Oh, I love the flyovers. Yeah, it was really lovely. Actually, the first morning after I'd got back, about 7 o'clock, there was a huge flyover over the house. And it was...
We arranged it. We'd been training them for months.
It was very nice. Very nice. I did wonder about the smoke trails and the formation that spelt out, "Welcome back, Nathan."
Yeah, and you like the sort of, you know, the Union Jack as they went past as well.
Quite an accomplishment.
You know, it's taken a while.
Very impressive. Well done.
Been a little bit of swearing while we were teaching them. They're not the greatest, you know, they're not as easy to train as a Labrador, I have to say.
No.
And they're not as interested in biscuits as Labradors.
Apparently quite interested in sitting on our fields and...
And munching our nice crops.
Yeah, I mean, somebody... I forget who it was that described the geese, because we referred to the fact that the geese were all over one of the fields, and somebody called them flying sheep.
Yes.
Which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
This is a whole new idea I hadn't really thought of. Basically, it would be so much easier. You know, we're talking about getting grazing animals onto the farm. We just need, you know, flying sheep.
You know, we've been lying all this time when people say, "Do you have any livestock?" And actually, we should have been saying, "Yes, we have a few thousand Pinkfoot geese."
We've got a few thousand Pinkfoot geese. And what was lovely the other day, we were doing a farm, we were walking around the farm, and there were about 20 or 30 lapwing on one of our fields.
Nice.
We've got curlew, you know, poodling around the place again at this time of year. It's lovely to have a front row seat.
The big problem with geese, though, is you cannot mob graze them where you want them. They will mob graze wherever they want to.
And
any amount of electric fencing is not going to make any difference.
No, this is true. No, we have to adapt the system.
Because if you've flown most of the way around the world for a meal, electric fence, nothing. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not interested.
Webs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to fly straight through it.
Yeah.
A bit like a monk jack deer, isn't it, really?
Yeah, indeed. Or like Richard from One Stop Nature took a very impressive photo of one of the Chinese water deer on one of the fields. And my goodness, you've seen the teeth on those things. Absolutely terrifying. You would not want to bump into a Chinese water deer.
Do you think maybe the, you know, Black Shuk actually wasn't a dog of any shape or form? It was actually a Chinese water deer.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Turns out Black Shuk was a deer. Just got really talked up.
Or it was a very large marsh rat.
Yeah.
That somebody couldn't believe it would be that big as a rat, so therefore it must have been a dog, so now it's become a beast.
Someone told the story in a pub, and then the next thing you know, it was a giant black dog with glowing red eyes.
I always remember one of the fishermen told my father he couldn't be a local because he hadn't sold mussels to the Romans.
Well...
And that's a fairly high bar, isn't it?
Can't really argue with that, can you?
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, the stories in pubs do kind of become...
Yeah, whatever. I've sold beer to Italians.
And Dad also had... he'd sort of, when he bought the pub, there were a whole lot of stuffed sort of animals of various shapes and sizes, sort of owls and things like that on the walls. And anyway, yeah, in the days when we used to shoot at Deepdale, we no longer do, but I remember when I was a small boy and there was shooting, and the message went down the line, do not shoot the white pheasant. And by the time it got to the end of the line, with a lot of quite deaf older men who not wearing ear protectors when they were shooting, it became shoot the white pheasant. Oh, so dear. And of course it went over the end of the line where they'd got the wrong end of the message.
Oh dear.
So that became another addition to the animals in the pub.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Whoops. I don't think the world was a particularly worse place for that mistake, whereas I'm sure there have been much bigger mistakes in the world caused by misunderstandings.
Indeed. I mean, we've made a few of them this year, but you know, we're talking about, you know, sort of making mistakes on the farm. I was going to put together a sort of like a, you know, sort of a top 20 or top, you know, maybe just a top 10, actually we haven't been that bad, like top 10 cock-ups on the farm for the year, but described it the other day, this first year as being our wonky pancake year. Yeah, for the farm.
I think that's a really good description.
First pancake through the pan. You're the one that ends up eating it. Nobody else is going to want it. It's a little bit wonky. It's a little bit.
But does it taste nice? That's the question.
But it sort of tastes okay.
Yeah. And when you walk around the farm, although we have had a slightly wonky pancake year for a number of reasons.
Yes.
Actually, it's looking very pretty.
It looks amazing.
And you know, Stephen has really enjoyed his time in tractors, it pretty.
All hail Stephen. The farm is looking,
because he's realised how beautiful a place he's been looking after over the last
week. I know, it's weird, isn't it?
Lots of time in the 200.
Yeah,
bumping up and down fields. You know, it makes him a happy boy.
Well, it's, you know, it's not the worst way to spend your time, really.
No, except in hot weather when he describes the heating system like being breathed on like an old man.
There's an image. Oh dear. There's an image. Oh dear, yes. Yeah. But we got the AC fixed for him, so he's all fine.
Yeah.
So he's I still remember Stephen's remark not so long ago when we basically, you know, because as a farm, we are doing our best to sort of minimise our carbon emissions and to basically demonstrate that, you know, we are tucking away in the ground at least as much carbon as we are responsible for emitting. And I suggested a little while ago that basically, you know, Stephen, I said, you can't have another tractor, you're going to have a Shire horse or a Suffolk Punch or something like that. And he was very Yorkshire at that point. He said,
yeah, problem with a Shire horse, you can't, it's no air conditioning, no radio.
So this is the image I've got now, is Steve on the back of a horse with air conditioning and a radio.
We can get him a ghetto blaster, he can strap it to his shoulder while he's riding the horse. Yeah.
There's another image, my goodness.
You know, sort of a half Beastie Boy, half, you know, sort of old style farmer on the back of a Shire horse.
Nothing if not innovative here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we like, and let's face it, he's installed his own. Oh, sorry, we've got S1 Builders just removing their. Oh no, it's rolling back in. I'm not sure they wanted to do that. We're having some bits done on the brick barn, because having re-roofed it and it looking very lovely, we've noticed some cracks. They're not bad cracks, and they weren't getting worse, but we just thought we'd deal with them now.
They're not insignificant, though.
No. Yeah, no. Particularly having cleaned the barn, they are significantly more noticeable.
Yeah, indeed.
Which is, you know, we should have just left it dirty.
It would have covered up the...
Yeah. Covered up the cracks.
Yeah. Well, you know, never mind. We're committed now. The brick barn is looking amazing.
It is looking amazing. Yeah. It is looking amazing. We were very sad that you weren't dancing to Bounds in there.
Yeah, so was I.
But, you know... Yeah. Hey, these things happen.
Plenty of time.
But it did look very pretty. It does look very pretty, and it works very well. Indeed. And of course, Richard's been doing his green woodworking courses in there.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. And some nice comments back on those. And we have more places available. A few more places, not many, but
there's only one left in December.
Oh, crikey.
On the Sunday, on the Sunday course. And now we're putting together the dates for January, February, March.
Yes.
Having worked out that people like the courses.
Yeah.
You're gonna move on to the full stool making course.
Yes.
So you can actually, you know, rather than a spatula or a rounder's bat at the end of the day.
Yes.
You can create something extraordinaire to sit on.
Fabulous. Yeah, no, so lovely. That'd be quite cool. Yeah, it's really nice having Richard doing that stuff on the farm, and we're just getting started.
Yeah. Exactly.
Shall we talk about the thing?
Yeah.
So, we have... You know that scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail where they're putting the giant rabbits together in the woods?
Yes.
I heard that sound and it just reminded me of... conjured up a comedy image, distracted me. So, anyway, the thing that we've got... So we've got Richard doing the green woodworking courses, and we now have a little project which we've just sort of basically just had the go-ahead for, so we're just getting going with it. But we've had a project to really do a lot more of this kind of thing on the farm. Hopefully, we're going to be able to provide a space for training, for courses, but also for conservation volunteering. We're getting everything from a cooker to some fire pits and a kettle, and you know, lots of tools and
modern fangled electricity.
Yes, electricity and various different bits and pieces, so that we can
composting toilets. Very
indeed.
Exciting.
So that we can run activities on the farm in a very, very beautiful spot that we've got on the farm right next to our woodland. And it's really, really exciting. And we basically have to get cracking with that, like, right now.
Yeah.
Because we've actually got quite a lot of work to do. So that's really, really brilliant to have had the go-ahead to do that.
Yeah, that's very cool. So the idea is that Down's Barn will become a centre of rural activities, rural skills, rural... conservation, basically, and
yeah.
Lots of stuff happening out of there. So at the moment, Richard's running his courses down here in the main, in the brick barn, which is our main stage for the festival, which we're sort of nicking off tourism at the moment while we do those. And then the plan is that that sort of activity, plus a whole lot of other activities, will move up to the permanent home of Down's Barn.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to... When you come for our Wild Wednesdays that start on the 12th of January and run through January, February, March, when we're doing huge amounts of hedging and tree planting and stuff, and when you come and do other activities with us, that will be where you'll be based. And
yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, it'll be lovely. We're going to be able to get a fire lit, get a cup of tea on the go, get people, have people sort of basically have a place to sort of base themselves. And, you know, we have got masses and masses of stuff to do around the farm. There's going to be various different ways that people can get involved, but yeah, like you said, initially it's going to be, we've got a fair amount of stuff to do with our hedgerows. We will be doing the majority of the work on the hedgerows ourselves, and we bring people in, you know, who can basically do that nice and quickly. But part of the joy of doing this is that hedgerow restoration, hedgerow management, the stuff that we're doing, coppicing, laying, gapping up, these are all sort of nice. It's a really nice activity to do as a group. You can sort of work around. People get to know them a little bit better, but you're all outside, so you know, we're all sort of can keep a reasonable sort of amount of nice social distancing on the go, but really a lovely way to spend your time. So yeah, you know, every Wednesday pretty much from the 12th of January we're looking at providing those.
It's going to be great, actually. It's going to be lovely to have that in the diary and have lots of people joining us. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, so, I hope so. And you know, there will hopefully be various different ways that people can get involved in what we're doing on the farm in the future, because as we've said before, there is far too much stuff for us to be able to get done on our own.
Yeah, it's great. And so we've been playing with ideas about sort of what to do with our cover crops and whether to grow the rye on over the year, and whether to do spring wheat or winter wheat, and you know, all those sorts of decisions that are sort of, as we learn the soil and as we learn our organic rotation, we're sort of piecing together all of that information on the farm. The stewardship scheme continues in earnest, which is what the hedgerows are part of, and then, you know, the rural crafts side of things. So it's, you know, there's some great... great ways that you guys can be involved. Of course, we're doing our monthly farm walk. The one in December is at 1 o'clock on the, we should both know the date of this.
First Thursday
of the month, which, if I'm looking up, will be, dun, 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 will be the 2nd of December. So Nathan or I will run that walk. And it's a fiver ahead. Come and join us for an afternoon walking. It's earlier than normal, because I realised when I finished the walk in November that if we don't move it an hour earlier, it will be dark before we get back, which means the views will not be as good.
Indeed.
So we will be doing that walk at 1 o'clock on the 2nd of December, and it'll be lovely to take people around and show them.
Yeah, it's always nice because people, you know, you can come along, you can ask any questions you want, you can come and see what we're doing on the farm, you see sort of the, you know, you see the the bits of the farm that we're working on, and you know, if you come back and you do this thing more than once, you actually see how the farm's changing through the year as well, because you know it's so different now from when I stepped away in August. To come back 3 months later, it's completely different, and it will be completely different again 3 months from now. So yeah, you know, come along, and we had a group of farmers came to visit us this week, National Trust tenant farmers and others, and it's just a fantastic opportunity to share what we're doing, and so yeah, we really enjoy doing them.
Yeah. No, that's good. So yeah, lots of ways to be involved. If you go onto our website deepdalefarm.co.uk. And you can put /events, or you can just go to deepdalefarm.co.uk and click on events. Either way will work, and you'll see a list of all of the events that we're running on the farm at the moment, what we've got planned in the diary, plus events at Deepdale Camping and Rooms, and at Dalegate Market. So we've got our first ever panto at Deepdale, which is going to be very exciting. So the Pantaloons coming back to do a panto. It's going to be a fundraiser.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, having you, you know, challenge it. You were going to dress up as Santa, weren't you?
I don't know what you mean.
Your wife thinks it's a good idea.
Yeah, she volunteered me for it. She volunteered me for it. She wasn't volunteering to do it. I mean, yeah, honestly.
You could pull the raffle as Santa. That would be great.
Let's just discuss this. You've
heard it on air now.
I'm not committing to anything.
That would be so cool. Santa could come and do the prize draw.
So it's nice weather today, isn't it? Anyway.
Moving rapidly on.
No, it's not nice weather today. It's grey, it's dismal. If you look at our weather page, you'll see that it's not pretty out there. It's just
It's all right, it's gray. Not raining.
Well, no, but it's about 100% humidity despite that.
It's cracking weather to be sat in the jollies or, you know, sat somewhere else in a nice warm bar.
Roaring fire in the jolly.
Yeah. It's perfect weather for it.
It is. Eating mussels straight off out of the harbour.
That'll do.
Oh, that could be... Oh, mm-hmm. No, you ruined the rest of my working afternoon.
I'm so sorry.
You know, how am I going
to... You didn't have anything that important to do. Let's just crack on.
How am I going to concentrate on anything?
Sorry. Too bad. Too bad. I'm off. What will I get you?
So yeah, please do come and join us. Get involved. We'd love to keep reading the blogs and watch the videos and listen to this podcast to kind of keep up to date with what we're doing. And we'd love to see you at Deepdale sometime soon. And I'll be chatting to Chris from the tourism, and then I'm going to do a whole lot of like mini interviews with the pop-up shops and shops at Dalegate who are joining us over the next month and a half. So, you know, please listen on, and thank you for tuning in to our November episode of the Deepdale Podcast. Thanks, man. Nice to have you back.
Cheers. Good to be here.
So I'm still in the courtyard, and Nathan has wandered off to the farm office to do whatever it is he's doing this afternoon, and I've been joined by Chris. Hello, man.
Hello, on the conveyor belt of chat.
Yes, the conveyor belt of chat.
Absolutely.
And it's not the perfect camping weather, but it's not awful, and you know, people are here, and they're enjoying the coast, and they're enjoying the amazing displays of geese flying over, and...
Yeah, absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it, really? Yeah. Absolutely beautiful. So, and how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, we are getting ourselves set for the winter now. Yeah, a few adjustments in team numbers, people going off to university and changing their career path, and so we're getting set for the winter with a slightly smaller team, and... getting our pitches repaired after the huge amount of use they had through the summer. So that'll all be nice fresh grass for next season. But yeah, apart from that, all good.
It's good. It's good. And so at the moment, if you come and stay on the campsite, it's a bit of a slightly a jigsaw-y in terms of, you know, we will find you a nice space, but we just not all the spaces are exactly as they are in the summer due to the fact that we have significant repairs going on. But if you look online and you can't find what you're looking for, then definitely give us a call, because more often than not at this time of year we can find you a space to stay in. And of course you've got our lovely underfloor heated shower blocks to enjoy when you come to stay, so definitely worth coming. And and yeah, the rooms are here all year round, and very much available for you. So
yeah, we've got a little offer on at the moment. If anyone fancies coming and enjoying the coast, our 3-for-2 midweek offer is back and rolling, and is proving very popular. So you can grab a very nice nice little bargain at the moment in terms of coming up to stay and get 3 nights up here for £84 as a couple.
That's pretty good value, isn't it, really?
If you get a better value deal, come and talk to me. But yeah, so it's great, and we've got a nice few people coming along and enjoying that midweek. And
that's eligible for any of our rooms. Yeah. So we've got 16 rooms. 12 of them are en suite, and 4 of them are shared facilities. And the 3-for-2 offer is available for any of those, basically staying between Sunday and Thursday, 3 nights between Sunday and Thursday, and you can get your 3-for-2 offer. So it's a very good, very good deal.
Yeah, and the Christmas shopping experience at Dalgate has started.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Christmas trees are up, and the pop-up shops are busy, and it's lovely. So we're not doing the Christmas market this year. In case anybody finds it on some random weird website somewhere, please believe us, as we're the organisers, we're not running the Christmas market this year, but we are running Deepdale Christmas Shopping, which is basically a much calmer and much more customer-friendly experience. We have 4 different pop-up shops Tuesday to Thursday, and then we have another 4 pop-up shops that join us Friday to Sunday. All of our main shops are open, and of course the cafe is offering lovely tasty food and drink as well from their regular hours, 7:30 in the morning till about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So definitely call in and enjoy some nice food and drink, and enjoy some great shopping. So there's plenty to see and shop, and you'll find lots of not on the high street stuff. So definitely worth popping in, and it's a great excuse to come up to the North Norfolk coast. Even if you spend an hour with us or a couple of hours, you know, you've got fabulous walking really close by, you've got all the lovely beaches, lots of lovely wildlife to watch, and I think in a second you're probably going to start hearing the geese flying over. I can hear them making murmurs in the background. So they're beginning to head over, so we might not be able to hear ourselves think in a moment. We'll see what happens. But of course this year we have the Deepdale Panto. Deepdale Panto.
Are you sure?
Yeah, and Chris is not Widow Twankey. He asked, and we said no. To be fair, actually, Sheila said please don't ask him, because he'll desperately want to. So we're very excited about that. The Pantaloons, who do the wonderful shows during the summer, they're coming back with their version of Cinderella, which will be absolutely hilarious. It will be indoors, not outdoors, but it'll be in the brick barn, so still plenty of fresh air and space, but it will be out of the elements of the weather. And it should be a brilliant evening. We're going to use that as our fundraising evening for St Martin's Housing and for the People's Picnic to raise money for them, which we normally raise money for from the Christmas cafe. We run in during the Christmas market, but that's not happening this year. So instead, we're doing this evening, and we're going to be writing to a lot of local businesses and getting some really nice raffle prizes. So there'll be a raffle, there'll be the tickets to come in, and there'll be hopefully a bit of a bake sale from some of the team as well. So there'll be refreshments to enjoy, all in aid of homeless helping charities in Norfolk. So we'd love you to come along. Accommodation is available for that weekend, so if you fancy
booking
making a weekend
fast,
of it.
I'm
booking
afraid,
fast, is it?
Not too many rooms left.
Drawing in some visitors, so
it
that's
is,
great.
Absolutely, yeah. There's only, I think, 3 or 4 rooms left.
Wow.
So
fantastic. So
that
that's really good. That's really good. So it should be really good fun. You know, anybody who's seen a Pantaloon show knows that how much fun they are, and that I'm sure they will do Cinderella full panto style, I would guess. I think it's going to be very funny. And it should be really good fun. So come along and come and join us. Anything else happening this winter? We've got some more woodworking courses, green woodworking courses with Richard happening.
Yeah.
Our Wild Wednesdays are beginning on the 12th of January. So we'll be doing hedging and tree planting all the way through January, February, and March. With anybody who fancy coming and joining us for those conservation volunteer events. Pop-up shops are running right up until pretty much Christmas Eve. Oh, and the 23rd of December, we're doing a lovely Carols Undercover. So just outside the pop-up shops, just outside Fat Face and Gone Crabbing, people will gather, and if it's nice, we'll spread out onto the grass, and if it's not nice, we'll sort of spread out along the walkway. But basically, it's come along and join the St Mary's Church and the Dalegate Market team, and no doubt some of the Deepdale crew, for a bit of carol singing under the Christmas lights of Dalegate Market. So it should be a really fun evening, a bit of a bucket shaker for a couple of local charities, the Kingslin. Winter Night Shelter is the one that they're raising funds for that one. And come and join us. It's free to come along, and it won't be hours and hours of carol singing. It'll just be sort of some jolly fun, and you never know, we might get some Christmas weather to go with it. Who knows?
You never know.
And the shops and cafe will be open, so you can kind of do some Christmas shopping, sing some carols, and then head off home. So that'll be lovely. Also to a local pub for a meal. Who knows? So So what else do you think? Is there any other major works planned for this winter? Or is it going to be a sort of a do the grass repairs and just catch up with ourselves?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be that really. We may well put a few more of our new hammock pitch poles in.
Yeah.
Down the bottom of Beechdale, they were used this year, not hugely, but they got off the ground in more ways than one. And, so we're
going like to
keep trundling along with that, I think. And yeah, apart from that, just keep everything growing, keep renewing the grass. Probably have to renew a few bits of infrastructure along the way, the odd tap here and there. But apart from that, taking bookings for next year, and we're already taking bookings for next year. So if you have got a favourite pitch, best not to wait too much longer.
Yeah,
because they are. We're definitely booking up faster for next year than we have before. In the past, it definitely seems to be looking that way. So looking forward to next year.
And the posh camping with Jen and Mark with the margins extending the season this year. So we're running it right from Easter right through till
the season, and we're
into October.
Completely reseeding those pitches. In full at the top there, and just improving the surface for the tents to go on. So yeah, there's a bit of work up there.
Yeah,
for those.
But it's gonna be great because people will be able to posh camp, from Easter onwards, which will be fantastic.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's going to be a lovely addition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that's cool. Excellent, man. Well, really lovely to chat with you. Yeah. And of course, you're prepping your best. Best music of 2021, aren't you? Ready for next month's podcast, which will be very cool.
Yeah,
we're going to make that an annual tradition of Chris giving us a roundup of what is simply a beautiful selection of amazing music, which Chris has both discovered and loves.
We'll probably review as well some of the festival highlights at the same time, and artists that have got music out that wasn't brand new, because a lot of them were. We're touring stuff that either came out just before COVID, or stuff they produced before that came out during the. So yeah, we'll see. There's some good stuff to talk about.
No, it's great. Excellent, man. Nice to chat with you, and we will. I look forward to next month's review of great music.
Yeah, speak to you soon.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Cheers.
Hi everyone, welcome back to another wildlife section with me, Ollie. I'm the showroom manager of the One Stop Nature shop at Dalegate Market. We're approaching quite an interesting time of year for wildlife in Norfolk, as we leave the bulk of the autumn season behind and into winter, there is actually opportunity for surprise sightings, especially amongst the thousands of geese that are currently on the Norfolk coast. While the majority of these will be pink-footed geese, which you can see with the huge skeins flying over the coast, especially over Dalegate Market, on a regular basis, there's always a chance of finding something a little bit rarer, such as white-fronted goose, a version of Canada goose called Todd's Canada goose, where there is one at the moment, as of the 16th of November, frequenting the coast with the pink-footed geese. And if you're very lucky, you might even see a red-breasted goose, which is a very rare and becoming critically endangered species due to hunting in mainland Europe. Aside from geese, there's always a chance of something a bit rarer. This is also a good time of year for spotting species like pied wheat ear, a species from Eastern Europe and Asia Minor, which can occur in the middle of November. Common wintering species are really focused around things like ducks, wildfowl mostly, and also wading birds. So if you go to any of the coastal sites, such as Burnham Overy Stave, you'll see a lot of wading birds at this time of year that spend the winter on our coastline. And finally, a little bit of information about the One Stop Nature Shop. This month we are celebrating our 10th anniversary at Dalegate Market and in total. And we also have an exciting new arrival in our binocular range from the small English company Cambridge Optics. It is the Pioneer ED, and we have those in store now. It is the lightest and smallest 8x42 in its class and has an extremely good close focus as well. So do pop in if you'd like to try them. As always, thank you for Jason for having me on this podcast. And if you have any information about local sightings, or you want any information about local sightings or advice on binoculars, spotting scopes, microscopes, and anything else for watching wildlife, do pop into the One Stop Nature Shop at Dalegate Market. We're open from now until the middle of February between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. and after the middle of February we go back to our normal hours of 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Thank you for listening, and hopefully I'll see you on the Norfolk coast very soon.
I'm having a chat with a whole bunch of different people who are coming into the pop-up shops over November and December. We're doing Deepdale Christmas shopping, and it's something a bit different for us. Rather than the big Christmas market, we're having pop-up shops from Tuesday to Thursday and then Friday to Sunday, all the way through November and December. And I'm chatting to Angela, who is one of our pop-up shops. And hi, Angela, how are you doing?
Hi, thank you very much for inviting me on. So I'm Angela Humphrey Designs. I'm a jewellery designer, and I make jewellery from my home studio in Blowfield, which is in to the east of Norwich.
Excellent, excellent. And how did you hear about Deepdale? How did you kind of get involved with Dalegate?
Well, I've been coming to Deepdale actually to stay at the hostel and so on for years and years, but I found your pop-ups back in 2019, and I've been coming here since. I really love having a pop-up at Dalegate Market. I really love meeting all the different holiday makers and some of the locals, and I like being in a beach hut. I think it's a really nice vibe for a market, and gives me the opportunity to have my own little shop for a week as well, or for a weekend. So I really enjoy dressing it up and being able to decorate it and have it as my own little shop, basically.
And what inspires you with your jewellery? What's the inspiration? Is it the nature, or what is it that grabs you?
Yeah, so I've been silversmithing a long time now, since 2006, but I'd say it's only really recently that I've really started to be more inspired by Norfolk and by the countryside, particularly in Norfolk. So I do a few different collections of jewellery, and I think definitely my most popular one in North Norfolk is the sort of coastal and seashore collection, using lots of blue vitreous enamel. That's ground glass vitreous enamel, which I kiln fire, and I do that onto silver, onto sterling silver or fine silver, or onto copper. And you can get really beautiful colours, and you blend enamels to get all the different colours of the sea. And I try and capture foam on the sea and really capture that feeling that you get when you're looking out at sea on the North Norfolk coast. So I find that jewellery is really popular. People like to take home from holiday a piece of that with them. If they've been here, you know, imagine walking on, I don't know, Holcombe Beach or at Wells on the beach there. They, you know, they like to be able to have that as a memory, and then they can wear it. Yep. So, yeah, that tends to be my most popular jewellery.
Fantastic. Yeah. So when can people find you at Dalegate this festive season?
So I'm there two long weekends. So I'll be there Friday the 10th of December. So 10th, 11th, 12th, that weekend. Friday the 17th of December. Two long weekends there. So perfect for Christmas shopping, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the cafe's open, and the other shops are open, and there'll be three other pop-up shops with you. So it'll be a really lovely time to come and visit us. And of course, you can build it into a walk on the coast and get inspiration for your jewellery. So it works perfectly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Angela. Nice to chat to you. And we look forward to seeing you in the pop-up shops on the 10th of December. That'd be fantastic.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to being there.
So we're on Zoom. I'm chatting to Carol. She is one of the pop-up shops coming in for Deepdale Christmas shopping in November and December. Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, good. So what's the name of your pop-up shop?
Well, we're Miller and Ward, and we are a home fragrance company. We make all our candles, melts, room diffusers. We also have hand and body lotion, hand wash, all that kind of thing. We also have an aromatherapy range as well, and we'll be at Deepdale later in the month.
Fantastic, fantastic. And what are you based locally? Are you in Norfolk based, or are you?
I'm it's funny because we're actually I've moved here over the last few years, and the company is run myself and my cousin. She still lives over in Cambridgeshire, and I now live in Heacham. So it's lovely, right by the sea, very nice. So yes, but we managed to sort of like keep the business going between us. We have a little sort of meeting point halfway, so we don't have to travel sort of, you know, backwards and forwards too often.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And what inspired you to set up the company and create all of these wonderful products?
Well, I think it was more to do with the fact that we'd both spent a fortune over the years on, you know, candles and room fragrances that we just thought were just not very good, and thought, I'm sure we could do better than this. And so our aim really was to produce something that was more the luxury end of the candle market, but still affordable. And I think we've managed to do this. We use a natural wax. We don't use soy. We don't use paraffin wax. We use a rapeseed and coconut mix for the wax. The fragrances are all bought from a company that has a very good reputation. And we find it works really well.
Lovely. That's great. Excellent. Well, we look forward to seeing you. What date are you actually in? Are you in more than once, or are you just in the one?
28th of November through to the 1st of December, I think it is.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to seeing you. And we'll let everybody know. And we look forward to smelling your products.
That would be lovely. Look forward to seeing you.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Carol. That's brilliant.
Thank you. Bye.
I'm I'm chatting with Hannah, who is coming into our pop-up shops this winter as part of our Deepdale Christmas shopping. She's going to just tell us a bit more about what she does and what the business is. So, hi, Hannah. Thanks for joining us on Deepdale Podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. So, yeah, I'm Hannah. I'm from Bermuda. I just moved here to the UK in March with the family.
Welcome.
My mom and stepdad have lived, my stepdad's from Holt originally, and he bought an olive farm. Him and my mom bought an olive farm 21 years ago in Greece. So they have an olive farm in the South Peloponnese, about an hour south of Kalamata on the mainland of Greece, with about just over 2,000 trees. And so they returned back to England, living in Holt for the last 9 years. And during this time, they brought their olives and olive oil and gifted it to friends and family who loved it, and they wanted more. So with on the premise of that, the oil tree was born, and they partnered with a Greek partner, Natasha, who deals with the day-to-day running in Greece. And so we have the oil tree, where we provide extra virgin olive oil, Kalamata black olives, Haldiki green olives, green and black tapenade, Greek honey, balsamic vinegar, mountain tea. And Natasha has gone into the cosmetic sides, and she has created a line of extra virgin olive oil cosmetics for your face. So body creams, face creams, body oils, and soap.
Fantastic. Sounds great. Sounds delicious. And much of it sounds delicious. Not necessarily the face creams, but the edible parts sound lovely. So that's great.
Well, they're all organic, so in theory, you can eat that as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Not designed for it, but, you know, might be good on toast. Who knows?
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely. How did you discover the pop-up shops at Dalegate Market?
I was online just looking at various options to expand, because my parents really haven't had an opportunity to give this 100% attention, and especially with 2020 behind us. So I just got online and had a look around, and I thought that this would be a great opportunity to showcase our products.
Yeah. No, fantastic. It's great to have you. And when are you in the pop-up shops?
In the pop-up? We are there Monday, the 29th of November, until Thursday, the 2nd of December.
Great.
And then we are there for the week of Christmas. So the 21st to the 23rd of December as well.
Excellent. And that means you're going to coincide on your last evening. We're going to have carols out the front of Dalegate Market. So St. Mary's Church and the Dalegate Market team and stuff, we're going to do carols at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We thought that would be a nice addition to just pre-Christmas, do a little fundraiser for the King's Lynn Winter Night Shelter. So that should be quite fun.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, we'll definitely happy to join with that.
Great. Well, there'll be carol sheets for anybody who fancies joining in. So that should be good fun. So that'll be great.
Maybe my stepdad, Jerry. I can't sing, but maybe Jerry. I'll sign him up for that.
Excellent. Well, really nice to speak to you, Hannah. Thank you. And we really look forward to having you in our pop-up shops. And we, I'm sure lots of people will thoroughly enjoy exploring your range of products. That'd be fantastic.
Yes, we're very excited to be there. We will have some Christmas gift baskets with the olive oil products and with the cosmetic products, as well as just buying them as is as well. So we look forward to being there and meeting everybody.
Chatting to Karen from You and Me and Daisy Too, which clearly needs explanation. But Karen is one of our regular pop-up shops. She's joining us this Christmas shopping period in November and December at Dalegate Market. Hello, Karen. How are you?
Good morning, Jason. I'm fine. It's me and You and Daisy Too. I'm the me, you are the customers, and Daisy is the bonkers cocker spaniel that shares my life.
There you go. Explains it all. Excellent.
Well, she rules the world, as you know spaniels do.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So tell me a bit about what you sell as you, me and Daisy too.
What I create hand-stitched beaded jewellery. So I use very tiny beads that are known as seed beads. They come in sizes that might explain the size of them slightly. So 11s and 15s being the sizes, that means you get either 11 or 15 to the inch.
Okay, I'm sure someone thought about that very carefully when they...
It was some clever person in Japan, I think. And I work alongside Pat Jarrett, who creates the stained glass. And she will also be with us. And we're sharing the pink pop-up shop from Monday.
Excellent. Great stuff. That's great stuff. So you're in till Thursday, or are you in
a bit
longer than that?
No, we're actually doing 2 weeks.
Right. Excellent.
We were very fortunate that we applied way back in the beginning for 2 weekends and then filled in the gaps when they came available. So yeah, we're there causing you chaos.
Well, that's great. And you know, so when you're creating your necklaces and such, like, what sort of inspires you, or is it sort of classic designs, or is it stuff just dream up?
Sorry, some of it is classic designs in that they are the known patterns. A lot of it is colours and shapes. And I've lived in North Norfolk and Northwest Norfolk for a very long time. And a lot of the inspiration comes from the colours and the shapes that we see here, particularly some of our skies and some of our seas.
And very inspirational it is too.
Absolutely. We're very fortunate to live in this part of the world.
And the great thing is with the kind of like the Deepdale Christmas shopping, as we've got this year, right through November and December, rather than the big Christmas market, is it, you can drop in, it, you know, there won't be huge crowds. You can get plenty of time to look around, chat to all the stall holders, and then you can go off for a walk or a nice food or whatever else in the local area. So it works very well. And you can see your jewellery and then see the places that inspired you.
Absolutely. And also, I mean, I can only speak for Pat and myself, but I'm sure all the other crafters are the same. We're quite happy to sit and talk to people about how we make and what's inspired us to create the designs that we have created, you know, which we've got the time to do this time. Whereas at Christmas market, as wonderful as that is, you don't really have time to talk in depth to anybody.
Well, nice to speak to you, Karen, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday for a couple of weeks. And yeah, thank you for joining us once again.
My pleasure, Jason. You take care.
You're about to hear three different soundscapes. The first two, thank you very much, are Hans Vandenberg, who sent us them, wondering if we wanted to include them in the podcast. He thoroughly enjoyed recording the sparrows that call Deepdale home, leaping backs and forwards between the bird feeders and the hedges of the campsite. And then the third one is the wonderful geese that we welcome here all winter here at all along the North Norfolk coast, which I recorded literally just outside the farm office door. So we hope you enjoy those three. Please do send us any of your own soundscapes that you'd like us to include, or anything else for that matter, music or interview suggestions or anything else. Just email us at podcast@deepdalefarm.co.uk. Enjoy the three soundscapes. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Deepdale podcast. It's really great to have your listening ears. We love putting this together, and it's fab to be able to sit down and chat to all the various members of the team to get all the information that we gather together for this podcast. Please do subscribe. Please do tell your friends. And if you really enjoy what you're listening to, then please do leave us a review. You should be able to find us for subscription purposes on any decent podcast directory, Apple, Google, Castbox, which hosts us, and many others. Really hope you enjoy it. Keep listening, and please do send your suggestions to podcast@deepdalefarm.co.uk. Thank you.
Skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of sandfire, sea lavender, see you next year. Thank you.